Welcome to the conclusion chapter of The Contagious Mind. Hope you've enjoyed this discussion so far. We're just going to go through some of the highlights here and kind of review what we've talked about and perhaps what we've learned in all of this. So just to start with, we talked about this idea of morphic resonance and how information and structure and knowledge is automatically shared through these morphic fields, which are part of the cosmos created by God. And remember, I called it God's cloud storage system or cloud computing platform, you might say. So in my belief, this is something that is natural. It is not supernatural. It is a normal part of the way the universe works and a normal part of the way consciousness works. And it means that knowledge and skills can be shared. In fact, they are automatically shared without even consenting to sharing them. Just by thinking something, you are helping to make that neural pathway more normal feeling or seeming to someone else. So morphic resonance then describes this phenomenon, and it applies to crystals. Remember, we talked about xylitol and ampicillin. You know, it applies to molecules, which are unconscious. It applies to conscious creatures of all shapes and sizes and kinds, including spiders and salamanders and, you know, insects and so on, and also, of course, mammals and humans. And it is a natural phenomenon that extends from mostly from consciousness, but also from unconscious patterns such as crystals and molecules and so on. But when you add consciousness into this, then you can choose how to imprint these morphic fields. You can choose what information you want to help share with other conscious beings who are automatically tied into it. So what this means then is, in chapter two, we talked about how this is a way to defeat censorship with the power of your mind and the power of creating ideas and sharing knowledge through this morphic resonance system, and that you can add to the power of this by engaging in morphic field imprinting through multiple vectors. We talked about you can think of something, you can speak about it, you can draw it, you can sing it, you can pray about it, you can act it out, you can create memes or sculpture or dance or whatever. Multiple dimensions and also multiple people. So the power of groups of people doing all this together, it is real, and it does help imprint the morphic fields and spreads knowledge and ideas to others, even without their awareness that it's happening. We also talked about how negative forces can exploit the phenomenon to push negative ideas or false ideas as well, and why globalists are trying to destroy the human brain and the mind through a number of methods such as distractions and chemical poisoning of your brain, and 5G radiation, fear and media terrorism, COVID terrorism, you know, intimidation of your consciousness and all these things. We also talked a little bit about aluminum and heavy metals, and their goal is the suppression of your consciousness. So the big upshot from that is that your nutritional health and your ability to function as a conscious being go hand in hand. You have to have a healthy brain in order to have an effective mind that broadcasts information through the cosmic fields. In order to have a healthy brain, you have to have healthy blood. And in order to have healthy blood, you have to avoid toxins and eat well and have good nutrition and consume clean foods and so on. So it all goes hand in hand. Now, then we talked about technology and how technology actually disconnects you from reality. And as people get more and more into their technology, their iPads, their iPhones, their Android devices, and so on, they are losing the ability to communicate outside of technology. And how then the tech giants are using their near monopoly over communication to suppress human knowledge. And so instead of sharing knowledge, Google, for example, is about suppressing knowledge. Facebook is about suppressing knowledge. YouTube is about suppressing videos, Vimeo, and so on. Even MailChimp is out there suppressing emails that they don't want people to send. So technology, as it is currently structured, is harming humanity and preventing the spread of knowledge. And this is why it's important to move to alternative platforms, by the way. One of my platforms is Brighteon.com, of course, a free speech alternative to YouTube. And there are other platforms out there. As of right now, as I'm recording this, Mike Lindell is about to launch a new free speech platform called frankspeech.com. And then there's Parler and BitChute and many others out there as well. Okay, and then also we talked about how to become a better receiver. In other words, receiving, information, knowledge, and structure from the morphic fields, which involves becoming more sensitive and getting closer to nature, removing yourself from the noise and distractions of a complex technological society. And remember that attention is a kind of currency. How do you choose to spend that currency? And also, remember that there's consciousness all around you. And so the more you recognize that there's consciousness in all living things, including plants and animals, the more sensitive you're going to be to receiving information. And then in chapter 3, we talked about how to be a better transmitter, which is a totally different skill set, how to share information in an effective way. And I talked about what properties are necessary or personality traits for a person to be effective at this. I also talked about why it's important to use positive energy, positive emotions, positive intentions, rather than negative intentions when it comes to imprinting the morphic fields. I quoted some scripture as well, I think from John chapter 1. Yes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God is the ultimate morphic resonance creator, you could say. In fact, he created the rules of morphic resonance, so that we are now using. We talked about how to things you can do with your lifestyle to become a more effective transmitter or morphic field, let's say resonator or imprinter. I got to come up with a better term for that. I don't know what the correct term is yet, but I guess we need a morphic field meme about morphic field imprinting. That should be fun. But anyway, you need good nutrition. You need to disconnect from a toxic society. You have to avoid pharmaceuticals and antidepressants. You need closeness with nature and sensitivity, of course. We talked about these things. You got to avoid substance addictions and horror movies and television that is just junk TV and so on. So these are habits that really are a whole life direction. Not everybody can pursue all of those. And also talked about avoiding, mind-altering drugs and alcohol and recreational drugs and so on. Talked about some things that are good to transmit and things that are, let's say, bad to transmit. In chapter 4, we talked about parsing language and how language is learned through morphic resonance, and how your brain linguistically processes concepts in order to even negate them. I talked about how to succeed in getting ideas out into the world, even if you are criticized and attacked for those ideas. The fact that you're being attacked means that your ideas are being at least named and processed by other conscious beings. I talked about some of the concepts that are successfully being embraced by people all over the world right now. The world is changing very rapidly. There is a mass awakening taking place, and these morphic fields are part of how that's happening. I talked about how enemies of humanity have also used morphic resonance to spread dangerous and destructive memes, and how those are harmful to society. And then in the bonus chapter, chapter 5, talked about silica, or technically orthosilicic acid versus aluminum, and how this silicon element is used both in central processing units of computers to keep the time, the frequency timing of the CPU oscillations, and it's used in your body to eliminate aluminum so that your brain can function as a biological processing unit. Talked about the structure of the shape of orthosilicic acid. It's in the shape of a pyramid with the silicon element in the center of the pyramid, and how that eliminates aluminum from your body, and why you should avoid sources of aluminum that can be found in certain detox supplements or liquid mineral supplements. So with all that said, I'd like to leave you with a couple of, I think, profound ideas here. So if you want to be free, you need to learn to control your focus. And if you want to help others be free, you need to disconnect from the slave system that is enslaving those others, i.e. television, pop culture, movies, technology, you know, 5G, Internet of Things, all that stuff. And you need to get closer to nature, free your mind, clear your mind through clean foods and nutrition and so on, and healthy personal lifestyle habits. And then you can contribute to the freedom and consciousness of everyone through this process of morphic resonance, even if you never have a Facebook page. And this power, this ability has been with us since the beginning of consciousness. And it can never go away. It cannot be suppressed by big tech. And they can't write laws against it because, well, they can't control what you choose to think and what you choose to do with your consciousness. So when you use technology, as I'm doing now, as you're doing now, we're both engaged in this technology, use technology to promote these ideas of fundamental human freedom. But don't become swamped by so much technology interaction that you forget your humanity, or you forget that you are a creation of God, or that you forget you're an extension of nature, in fact, the same nature created by God. So you've got to get back to remembering who you really are in order to help heal and awaken others. Now, remember that your consciousness or your focus is a kind of currency, and always ask yourself, how are you spending that currency? You know, each day you get up, how am I spending my focus currency today? Am I giving it away for free by using Facebook and watching junk videos on YouTube and just watching junk TV or what have you? Or are you using your focus to improve your life and improve the lives of other conscious beings throughout the cosmos by helping to spread knowledge and awareness and awakening and fundamental philosophies that are divine, such as independent creativity, abundance, justice, love, peace, you know, all of these things. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. What you choose to focus on, you will transmit into the cosmos around you, and it will affect others. Now, again, this doesn't mean that you can't be a whistleblower and raise awareness of problems in the world with the intention of solving those problems or perhaps defeating those problems if they're rooted in Satanism and demonic entities and so on. But always make sure you have a solution behind every whistleblowing session. So if you're going to bring up a problem, make sure you bring some sort of solution to the table as well, so that you're not just contributing problems to the cosmos, you're raising awareness, but solving those problems. Now, there's one more final thought in this that I think is very powerful and very important to get across. If you pursue this lifestyle, what I've described here, you're going to be thought of as an outsider, perhaps, maybe a fringe person by the hyper-connected technological society, you know, that judges you by how many likes you have on Facebook. They appraise your value by your success in their system. They don't even recognize the existence of your system, which is the divine system, the system of God and the cosmos. And the most important takeaway in this is that you do not allow the gatekeepers of the world to appraise your value in their definitions, which are rooted in demonism and suppression of knowledge and censorship and tyranny. And in fact, Paul speaks about this in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 2. Paul says, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. You see the important distinction there? So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, in other words, the artificiality of what man had created, which today is, you know, Google and Facebook and so on, but rather on the power of God. And Paul continues, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, right? The hidden, think about that. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. That, in other words, God created the very structure of the cosmos through which your consciousness is expressed. And this whole concept of this book, The Contagious Mind, which talks about morphic resonance and morphic fields and God's cloud storage, this is the hidden wisdom which God predestined, you see. God created all these patterns for us before we even came into existence. Paul continues, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. So just like today, the leaders of Twitter and Facebook and Google and YouTube and whatever, they have no understanding of what we are talking about. They don't believe in God. Many of them are, frankly, child trafficking pedophiles. You know, they're demon creatures. So they not only do not understand consciousness and the wisdom of God and the power of God, they reject it. And as Paul says, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have murdered Jesus Christ. So Paul continues, for to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. You see how suddenly this makes a lot of sense when you understand the contagious mind? Think about this. God revealed them through the Spirit, which means through consciousness, your mind, your soul, your mind's eye into the cosmic consciousness. For the Spirit searches all things. This means the Spirit has access to all knowledge through morphic resonance. All knowledge is available to your spirit. Quote, even the depths of God. In other words, through your spirit, you may even begin to understand a little bit more about God himself. And then finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, this is the final line, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. I really want you to think about this phrase because this encapsulates what we're talking about. He who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. So what does this mean? Well, in my view, when we say he who is spiritual appraises all things, it's that whoever has this expansive consciousness and this deeper understanding about the nature of the cosmos and consciousness is able to observe and look at things that are happening in the world around them and understand the context and understand the true meaning of those things, which means that he can appraise all things. He is able to, in essence, well, you could use the term judge all things, or better yet, to understand or grasp the greater meaning of all things that are happening. Because when you have this kind of God's eye view, which, I mean, none of us can even begin to approach the mind of God, but through cosmic consciousness, we can kind of scratch the surface of it. We can gain a view that is much larger and more encompassing than what just a normal, distracted, techno-human would perceive. So we are able to look at all things with a sense of value. That means that we are able to appraise all things. We can understand spiritually what is the real value of that thing that's happening over there. That's why we might look at, you know, I don't know, some wealthy celebrity that just bought a $1 billion home and has a bunch of diamond jewels, you know, on her hand or her neck or whatever, and is famous on YouTube, but is spiritually empty inside. We would be able to look at that and say that person's existence has zero value, even though the secular world would say, well, no, that person is very valuable. That person is a billionaire. I think, for example, one of the, who is it? One of the Jenner, the Bruce Jenner daughters is, I think, a billionaire now because of a line of cosmetics that contains ingredients that I personally would say are very toxic. So here's a person who became a billionaire by selling questionable personal care products. as someone myself who is spiritually aware, I would appraise that person as being worthless, having zero value. But society would say that person is a billionaire. Society would say that person is more valuable than I am because she has more money. But her soul is empty. She has no ethics. She has no morality. She has not contributed to anything that matters in the world other than spreading more toxic chemicals all around. All right, now, so the rest of this from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 is, yet he himself is appraised by no one. Okay, so, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. What does that mean? It means no one can devalue you once you have this knowledge. No one can tell you that you are not valuable to the cosmos or that you haven't contributed, let's say, or that you are worthless or that you don't matter once you have this spiritual knowledge. Because as a conscious being who now knows how to read and imprint the morphic fields of cosmic consciousness, you now understand that you have not only tremendous value, but perhaps you are among those who are the most important for determining the future of human civilization and what happens from here forward. And no one can appraise you at a spiritual level. No one can come to you and say, oh, you're poor, therefore you don't matter, or your credit score is only 422 or whatever, that you don't matter. No one can appraise you from the secular world because your reality and your existence is transcendent to that secular world. And I believe this is what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians. This is a section about transcendence. And you can ascend through this process just by cognitively recognizing what we've talked about here and then putting it into practice. You will become a transcendent spirit, a transcendent soul who now operates in the God realm rather than the world, the techno-humanist secular world. You now recognize and embrace and invoke the power of God as God laid these tools before all of us and yet hid those tools from most who were not willing to see God because, again, quote, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. This has all been out there forever, and yet few, very few, have been able to tap into it because they're too distracted by whatever's on TV later on. But the journey to get to this, it is not an easy journey. You can't be effective at this if you're, say, abusing recreational drugs or taking a lot of mind-altering medications or living a junk food lifestyle and so on. There is a path to walk to become effective in this and to join the ranks of this hidden wisdom that Paul speaks about, which God has granted to all of us. So my question to you is, would you like to join me on this journey as we walk this path? Because it's always a journey. None of us ever reach the final destination. We can always do better or learn more or become more humbled or clean up our own lifestyle more. You know, I mean, it's hard to be in this world right now, especially being involved in technology like I am, and then also find time to be with God and be with nature. It's difficult. And I haven't figured out all the answers to that either, nor have you. But we can take this journey together and we can walk with this goal in mind, which is to tap into and to, in fact, contribute to this hidden wisdom that God has provided for all of us as a natural law of the entire cosmos. All knowledge in the universe is available to us if we are only quiet enough to hear it. The voice of God speaks through the fabric of the cosmos, and God is speaking to each of us right now. So thank you for allowing me to also speak with you for this entire audiobook. I feel the presence of God in sharing these words with you, and I hope that you will join me in honoring God and using these gifts from God to help create a universe that is more fair, more free, more loving, more just, more divine, and more filled with conscious life in every form that we can imagine. That's what I would like to see. And thank you for joining me on this adventure as we work together to make that a reality. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for listening to The Contagious Mind.